Knowledge, it's said, can be used to create and destroy. Fritz Haber, a high-strung German chemist who lived at the dawn of the 20th century, used science to do both. His discovery of a way to convert air into nitrogen fertilizer allowed the world to feed itself. He also pioneered the use of chemical weapons. Haber has been called a scientific hero and a war criminal. Outside his own country, he's almost unknown, NPR's Dan Charles reports.
In a quiet and leafy corner of Germany's capital, Berlin, stands a tall, stately villa. There's no marker to tell this building's story. For that, we have historian Michael Schiering.
We are looking at Fritz Haber's residence here. This was also the house where his wife shot herself in 1915.
It's a memorial to accomplishment and loss, an appropriate symbol, in fact, of Fritz Haber's life. Haber was an ambitious man. He worked obsessively, driving himself to the brink of nervous breakdowns. He was 42 when he moved into this villa in 1911, and he'd already achieved every ambition. He was director of a new scientific institute established by the German emperor. He was counted among the scientific giants of Berlin, one of half a dozen future Nobel Prize winners, including his good friend Albert Einstein. Fritz Haber was devoted to two things, to science and to the German state. They were his guiding lights, and for a time, they served him well. Anyone exploring Fritz Haber's life eventually arrives at the archives of the Max Planck Society for the Advancement of Science, just a short walk away from Haber's villa. Here one finds what's left of Fritz Haber's letters and papers. There are Haber's reports documenting his historic accomplishment, his discovery of a way to convert nitrogen gas, which makes up most of the air we breathe, into ammonia, the raw material for making nitrogen fertilizer.
March 23, 1909. Concerning the synthesis of ammonia from its elements, there's been significant progress. It's been possible to find a catalyst, osmium, that is far superior to any other catalyst that we've tested.
This would earn Haber a Nobel Prize. It would also transform world food production and give some 2 billion people on Earth enough to eat. Like Einstein, Haber was German and Jewish. Unlike Einstein, he converted to Christianity. And unlike Einstein, Haber was a German patriot. Haber's biographer, Margit Saloshi-Jantze, says Haber was obsessed with helping his country triumph in World War I.
He considered it his duty, and that was the Prussian in him. It was his duty as a scientist to work with all his might for the goals of the state to win the war.
At the outbreak of the war, the British Navy cut off Germany's access to nitrate mines in Chile, the sole source of raw material for military explosives. The German military turned to Haber's ammonia-making process instead. Within a year, German chemical companies built an enormous factory, the biggest chemical plant in the world, and nitrogen from that plant converted into munitions kept Germany in the war. When the war turned into a stalemate, with both sides stuck in trenches, Haber tried to break the deadlock with chemistry. Poison gas can reach into enemy trenches, he said. Let's use that as a weapon.
Haber actually insisted on this. He said, if you want to win the war, then please wage chemical warfare with conviction, because success depends on quickness.
On the 22nd of April, 1915, Haber was at the front lines, directing the first gas attack in military history. 150 tons of chlorine blew across the fields of Flanders, spreading panic and death among the British and French soldiers. Haber returned to Berlin, his new technology apparently vindicated. Then, a few days later, his wife Clara picked up his army pistol and turned it on herself. Margit Saloshi-Jantze, who now teaches at the University of Cologne, says we cannot know why.
Because we don't have any sources. There supposedly was a farewell letter that was then destroyed by the family, but nothing was passed on to us.
Clara Haber, a talented chemist herself, had been unhappy for years with her life and her marriage. Some friends of the Habers said later she also was repelled by her husband's work on poison gas. Many still regard her death as a condemnation of Fritz Haber's life. Margit Saloshi-Jantze says people tend either to admire Fritz Haber or despise him.
On the one hand, you have the inventor of the ammonia synthesis, the benefactor of humanity, and on the other, you have the gas warrior, the terrible husband, who drove his wife to commit suicide. So we tend towards this polarization, and we don't see as much as we should that these two things belong together. It's the same science and the same person doing both.
In fact, Fritz Haber, perhaps more than any other person, personifies the paradox of science, with all its potential for good and evil. Haber's twin loyalties to his science and his country survived the First World War intact. If anything, they emerged stronger. 15 years later, though, his country turned on him. Hitler came to power in 1933 and demanded that all civil servants of Jewish descent resign. Haber could have kept his job because he was a World War I veteran, but the order required him to fire his Jewish employees. Instead, Haber resigned. He wrote to an English scientist asking about a possible research fellowship.
March 24, 1933. Never in my whole life have I lobbied for any honors, and I'm deeply ashamed to be writing this. But perhaps you'll have some understanding for the sensitivity of an old man who was attached to his country for his whole life, who now feels that he's lost his homeland, a homeland that he and his ancestors served faithfully.
He travels as if driven from place to place, from one corner of Europe to the other, always believing that he'll find rest at the next destination, but never finding it.
His journey ended within a year. In January of 1934, Haber died in a hotel room near the railroad station in the Swiss city of Basel. He was 65 years old. A year after Haber's death, a few of his former colleagues held a memorial service in his honor in the main auditorium of Berlin's most prestigious scientific society. At first glance, it appeared to be just what you'd expect, a crowded room, a string quartet playing Schubert. But a closer look revealed something odd. The room was filled with women. The Nazi Minister of Education had banned all civil servants from attending, and that included most academic scientists. Haber's colleagues had stayed home, but sent their wives in their place. A final, almost unspeakable irony of Haber's life was yet to come. The other great cause of his life, his science, would be turned against his own people. During the 1920s, Haber's laboratory had developed Zyklon B, a poisonous gas, to control insect pests. 10 years later, that chemical was used in Nazi death camps. Dan Charles, NPR News, Berlin.